every ethicist through history has talked about the intrinsic value of humanity. So it all wraps around what our duties to other people are. So every ethicist will take the humanitarian approach in that regard. The problem comes when you're trying to do an ethics of trees or an ethics of rocks and whether those particular objects have ethical standing. That's where the real rub comes. And so you can take a couple of different approaches, but you always have to go back to the question of value. What is it that we value? And how do we go about valuing that? Does a tree have an innate moral value? Or does it have an instrumental value? Or is there some type of other value structure that we put upon all of these things? And that's where philosophers argue all about it today, frankly. I think that the anthropomorphic approach is really rooted in two different traditions which today have been shown to be untenable. I think in the anthropomorphic approach, the very beginning is at the Judeo-Christian level, or all the way back to the book of Genesis in chapter 1, verse 26 through 29. God says to Adam and Eve, fill the earth and subdue it. Well, the whole idea of subduing the earth comes from the Hebrew. That Hebrew word for subdue is rada, which means to trample upon. So it's a very violent approach. And also, as an eco-feminist would say, a very patriarchal approach to what our relationship with the earth is. The other tradition that's rooted in is the Cartesian tradition, where the only thing that counts is human consciousness. And everything else, including animals, is simply automaton. They simply react to their particular environment, and that does not give them a moral standing because they don't have rational consciousness. I think both of those prongs of the anthropomorphic tradition are essentially incorrect. The one being patriarchal, the one being a very violent approach, does not take into account the web of relationships that we are all in, which was what we're trying to do today. And the Cartesian tradition is focused on the human ego alone. But in the 20th century, and then now the 21st century, we have a different examination of what it means to be human, and we don't necessarily begin with those approaches anymore. So I think that's somewhat outdated. But when you go to the other side, the deep ecology side, or the environmental ethics side from the perspective of, I'm trying to think, not just deep ecology, but ecofeminism or ecosystems, they have the perspective of certainly being in a web of relationships, but they take it to the other extreme and say that anything that exists, a mountain, a tree, a rock, has an intrinsic moral dignity to it. Arne Naess calls it the intrinsic dignity. And the only way that humans are allowed to tamper with that is if they have a vital reason for doing so. Otherwise, the presumption is you can't interfere with nature. Well, I think that makes a serious mistake too. And the serious mistake that it makes is that how do you define what it means as a vital human interest? And does economy count in that? Or does life's support count in that? And does aesthetics count in that? So you have all these varying things that you have to take into account that deep ecology does not, I don't think. And ultimately, the consequence for deep ecology is that humanity gets sacrificed, that humans have to stop what they do and surrender to a mountain. And that strikes a lot of people as being counterintuitive. So my approach is to try to go down the middle with this idea of ethical values in environmentalism. And that is to say that certainly everything around us, because we are connected to it in some way, has a prima facie moral value. Certainly there is a value in a mountain. The question is, what is the value of a mountain? Is it simply aesthetic? Is it intrinsic? Is it scientific? Is it economic? And every time you talk about value, you always have to put an adjective in front of it. What type of value is it, and for whom is it a value? So when you ask that question, for whom is this a value, then you get the different value systems. And that's where the dialogue has to come in. So that doesn't answer the question directly, but to answer it directly, I would say that the presumptive value of everything around us has to be in place for us before we can move ahead and start talking about environmental ethics.